Avelina incursions continued over the next few weeks, and those beasts who slipped past the electric fence were shoving their ways into homes through any crevice and nook they could find. The previous night, they even stormed the casino where Haley worked. However, the Javelinas had nothing to do with the black eye Haley was sporting at the casino the next morning when Olivia arrived.
What happened?
The Javelina squadron burrowed under the fence and into the casino last night.
Oh, destroy much?
They knocked over tables and spilled wine bottles. No food to find here in the casino, so the pig pack just moved on.
I'm glad I live on the third story and those little porkers can't climb stairs. Seems like those bacon squadrons are getting past the fence more often.
Probably just your imagination.
It's good to see you again. You weren't working last time I stopped by.
I've been taking personal time off when I could afford it.
For your research?
Yes, but my shortage is not extra time. I need many more samples just to develop a stabilization method before analysis. I tried collecting dog tears, armadillo tears, even crocodile tears. Absolutely no detection of lithium.
Only in human tears.
Certainly not in mine. I tried a pepper spray to generate reflex tears. Nothing except an eye infection. I thought a floater's tear ducts might not manufacture helium-6, but...
So you collected more human tears?
One afternoon, the casino showcased a stand-up comedy act. People were laughing so hard they cried. They gladly shared their tears. I hoped a prolactin from the hypothalamus was the key catalyst.
Oh, happy tears must have really sparkled.
Not at all. Apparently, happy tears are not the answer either, but their prolactin really should extend the helium's half-life.
You're sure?
No sign of helium and no lithium residual.
Have you approached families that stake it all and lose?
When I asked a parent to cry into a jar, all I got was this black eye.
Oh, sorry.
It aggravated the eye infection.
I have faith. Can I do anything to help?
Would you cry sad into this jar?
I don't cry on demand. What do you mean, cry sad?
Try pinching yourself hard or something.
It's not that easy.
But let me describe the family that awarded me the black eye.
Sorry, Haley. Destiny has been shining my way lately. You can't pull me down.
That stupid investigation is over?
Not quite. No evidence to support potential charges, and the investigator isn't out for blood anymore.
Well, good.
It means you're off the hook, too.
I will be glad, but a sob story would have been more productive.
Maybe you can get one from Jerry when he picks me up.
Who is Jerry?
Oh, Inspector Sampson. We're dating now.
Why?
Why? Why? He turned out to be somewhat appealing once I learned about his upbringing. Jerry's an orphan, but figures his parents really lost him gambling.
Lying to you about everything. He wants you to let down your guard.
His amnesia started when he fell out of a wagon that was carting him off to slaughter.
An amazing talent for hyperbole.
They really do use wagons. One family even gave me a photograph. Here, look at it.
I never watch where the wards go.
Down towards the defunct geothermal power plant, where the stench is so bad.
Speaking of the stench, here comes your boyfriend.
Gerald began showering again after that first week of surveillance.
As Gerald approached, Haley shuffled and dealt cards to let Gerald know he was being ignored.
12.
Hit me.
Bust. House wins.
Haley collected the chips, cards, and Olivia's photo of the wards. The photo unintentionally got added to the discards.
I must be bad luck for you.
Your job is hoping that people lose.
You got me wrong. My job is to make sure no one cheats the ministry.
The ministry's infinite bankroll guarantees the house will come out on top.
And the debt is what the losers take on.
The code posted right here clearly states consumers should only use surplus income. Wagers are for entertainment only.
Some simpletons cannot help themselves.
They need to study probability lessons better at institution.
Or else lose their children?
Let's not start that dispute again.
I still think the sons and daughters are taken off to slaughter.
Not banished to the flotilla. Mother would have told me something like that.
It's something more insidious and intentional, I'm sure. People have challenged the city government for 200 years.
What happened then?
You never learned about Marshall Studenmeyer?
No history lessons for floaters.
In 1881, Studenmeyer took over as El Paso's town marshal. He cleaned up the town, but intimidated the aldermen. When the town council wanted to fire him, Studenmeyer drunkenly stormed into the council chambers with pistols ready to fire. He dared them to take his guns or his job. The frightened mayor adjourned the session.
Liv, you left out the part that Studenmeyer died in a feud just after that.
Irrelevant. I submit that the people remember Studenmeyer for challenging the ministry.
You mean challenging the town council, not the ministry.
Right. That's what I said.
Have it your way. I'm convinced we're better off with fewer young people. Less worry about gangs.
You can prevent gangs without ripping toddlers from their mothers' bosoms.
Maybe one of your old clients can lead you to a former ward that...
Former wards. I don't believe they're alive at all.
I didn't want you crying again.
I did, to collect tears.
Haley unscrewed a jar and offered it to Olivia.
Just think of those cherubic faces realizing their parents have totally abandoned them.
You're just upsetting Olivia.
Right. That way I can get a sample.
You're cruel. A good for nothing.
No, it's good for my research.
Research me, search. Come on, Liv. Let's clear out and find a place where they'll treat you better.
Yuri, I'm staying. Haley's work might save the city someday.
That's a load of crap. This dealer has a weird fetish for suffering. Absolutely no sympathy when a family loses an all.
I'll meet you for supper.
Have it your way.
Gerald tromped away.
He messed you up. Ignoramus who cannot appreciate science.
Was what he said true?
That I have a fetish for pain? Absolutely not. Typically, I will not even register what people feel.
That's sad in itself.
Nothing I can do about it.
Is that trait pretty common in floaters?
I suppose so.
I am imagining hundreds of people on the deck of a ship, not even acknowledging one another.
Fishermen only talk when their lines get crossed.
Silent existence. It's a hermitage among hundreds because breathing itself is a struggle without Niamox. My mental image is so bleak. Anonymous drudges shambling with the rise and the fall of the tide, all against a shining, empty ocean. Just give me the jar.
Counselor Woods sobbed full tilt into the jar for 16 full minutes, giving Haley plenty of sample to work from. Two weeks later, Haley yearned for a major breakthrough, or for a minor breakthrough. Even the laundry pile had been replaced by beakers and flasks. The laundry had been pushed under the kitchen sink. Haley pedaled hard to generate some power for the analysis. Unfortunately, the knocking on Haley's apartment door interrupted scientific progress.
Come back later. Busy now. The casino always pays me on Fridays. I'll get you the rent then.
Haley stopped pedaling and opened the door.
Oh, it's only you.
Gerald entered the apartment, steamed, and slammed the door shut.
Only me? Why don't I scare the crap out of you? You're under investigation, too.
With no evidence to find, you cannot bother me.
I'm convinced something is going on between Liv and you.
She's a donor for the experiments. Nothing more.
I'm not buying it. I've been in this job for 6 years, and I smell something funny.
I left a tuna sandwich out in the sun.
You know what I mean. Olivia responds to you, and you don't let her manipulate you.
Does she manipulate you?
No. I guess. Maybe. Look, she lets me take her out, but keeps her distance. I want to make a better impression on her.
Then do something.
I am. My investigation.
Definitely the wrong approach.
What do you mean?
If you do your investigation poorly or properly, you will not find anything. And if you do your investigation so scrupulously a prosecutor can stack up evidence, Olivia will be indicted. Your job is not and cannot be the answer.
What'll impress her?
Something she cares about. Find a ward of the ministry, a live one. Make Olivia know not all have been slaughtered.
But I don't have access to those records.
Figure it out. You can use this photo Olivia gave me. Olivia said that these were wards.
But how am I...
I have work to do. You are an investigator. Investigate.
Easier said than done. I'd need to access the file cabinets in a collection division, and then cross-reference against the housing records from here.
Eureka! Flying fish! I figured it out!
That tear experiment you've been working on?
Yes, it will work. I just need to test the circuit.
Looks like you built a shrine to your research. Glassware with colorful liquids piled on shelves to the ceiling. Don't me. You've gone overboard.
Luckily, your opinion is immaterial.
It's like that shrine to St. Monica. Instead of dripping springs, you've got tear-filled test tubes.
Quiet. I am working here.
No, you're praying. Praying for some miracle that will make you a hero or anoint your sainthood. Will you find God in your test tubes?
Here, hold this wire. And hold this wire.
An electric jolt passed through Gerald until he dropped one wire.
That's it! Electricity from Helium-6! A way to hold back the javelinas!
That's what electricity feels like?
75 volts.
Couldn't you test it some other way?
It seemed the best way I could introduce you to God.
Working day and night, a month later, Haley was ready to present the scientific findings to someone, anyone in the ministry who could fund research into tear energy. Counselor Woods realized that Haley's personality diminished the chances of a presentation opportunity, so she called in a favor. Haley's apartment would have been too tight for the presentation, so Haley carted the scientific apparatus down to the casino for a demonstration.
To keep the pit boss from complaining, I can put away the experimental evidence. What time did you say she was coming?
Sometime this afternoon. It's hard to schedule a high-level official, especially one with grant money.
Well, as long as you are certain she will come, Helium Tears will revolutionize powering the city fence.
You've announced that 3 times already in the last 12 minutes. But how do you know your power supply will impede those pigs?
Just based on an experiment I did at home with a creature.
I've been pondering the biological basis for the helium and the sadness that generates it. I generate helium tears when I perceive a broken relationship. Because helium is a pair of protons, maybe the tears are an outpouring of those relationships.
Too speculative for good chemistry. We can consider that in the second phase of funding.
Not surprised by your reaction. Your extractions can be so...
Representing the scientific method.
Clinical. How do you plan to pitch your technological revolution?
Just list the general facts and let her connect all the dots.
I can guarantee that approach won't work with Maisie. She's a bureaucrat and wants every detail. You'll have to take her through your basic science, spell out the possible application, and then describe how you're going to scale up from your test tube. She'll expect everything to be precise.
Why do you know her so well?
Maisie was a client who thought her husband might be cheating.
But most importantly, she handles research grants.
Right.
The Colonel is not a client anymore, so no conflict of interest worries?
Right. She didn't want to open up with me. Afraid that trusting me might divulge classified secrets.
What happened?
A fringe treatment that seemed right to her. We found Maisie's anger could be treated by music therapy. She had a lot of untapped potential for musical composition.
Or did she leave because you were a bad therapist?
Haley!
I do not want her decisions on Helium Tears biased because you cried during her sessions.
I never cry during client sessions. Your single-mindedness can get really annoying.
That is how I work. I consider how society might benefit from my contribution, and I stay focused on making it happen.
Believe me, no one presumes that you focus on anything else. Don't you ever feel you're tilting at windmills?
Tilting at windmills?
Don Quixote, by Cervantes. Quixote slayed dragons in his mind, but in reality, he only jousted with windmills.
Dragons are not real.
Right. Your beliefs are based on observations and how they meet demands.
Exactly. Society could use energy, and I can help put it within our grasp. When I find a source of energy for ships after that, I can return the flotilla and we could pull anchor to head for another piece of land, a place where we would be welcome.
Haley, you do have dreams.
Of course. Who denied that?
Gerald, but he blabbers a lot.
He does not like me one bit.
He told me last week he's completed the investigation.
All closed out?
Yep. No evidence to prosecute.
Do you tilt at windmills?
I wish. My fate seems to be picking up the pieces after the battle. My paralyzing fears of worst outcomes toast me in the dragon's brimstone breath.
Nothing in common with Quixote?
I'm more like his sidekick, Sancho Panza. Just along for the ride. On a donkey.
Does Panza find fame?
No. Just get stuck, cleaning up the messes Quixote creates.
Useful person to have in real life.
But unremarkable. How did you afford all the chemicals for the chromatograms?
I
didn't mean to imply you've stolen anything.
I went back to flotilla meals and generally now just keep a parsley salad diet. Really easy to grow the parsley with fresh rainwater, so all I need is sunlight to grow it on the old fire escape.
You leave it unguarded on your fire escape?
Yeah. City dwellers are oblivious to what a great nutritional source parsley can be.
I've noticed fish prices have been going up.
So a switch to parsley makes even more sense.
Every day?
Yep. Fresh parsley is what my sister and I grew up on.
At least I know why your breath is always fresh. And why you have that green fleck.
As Haley's mouth was engaged in removing parsley flecks from tooth gaps, Gerald Sampson dashed into the casino like a lapdog whose owner just arrived home.
Liv! Liv! I've solved it! You're just gonna scream.
About what?
Well, let me start at the beginning. I never closed out your case, so I had resource access to continue investigating.
You never concluded my case.
Good cover for checking extra casino records.
You must finish it to keep my grant proposals from getting rejected.
Shut up, Haley. My investigation may actually impact your research.
In that case, I will be quiet as a church mouse. So still, you could hear a pin drop.
Pin drop?
Why would you drop a pin?
I leafed through the casino records to find the identity of the last child who disappeared when a family lost it all.
Did you find his remains? Did you have to
use dental records?
Calm down. A single individual's records didn't get me anywhere.
Go on.
I found 6 families that lost early teens in the last 3 years. The older juveniles would be easier to trace. I interviewed families and got physical descriptions of the children. One had a facial birthmark, and another had red hair.
Are you trying to tell us that
the children were unwanted because of deformities?
No. The descriptions helped me with tracking and identification.
Hurry, I've got to get used to the fact that these kids might be alive.
They're definitely alive. I've discovered where they're taken.
Counselor Woods never looked so happy. She jumped from her seat, embraced Gerald, and planted a long kiss on his lips. Counselor Woods was ecstatic. So was Samson. While their lips were interlocked, Colonel Maisie Turret rolled into the casino and strode toward the couple. The colonel registered no surprise upon finding Counselor Woods in a physical embrace, and a glance at her watch indicated that Maisie was more concerned about the time that she had to spend on Haley's presentation.
Counselor Woods?
Oh.
Is this the researcher you want me to meet?
I'm the researcher, Haley Firstwater. So glad to meet you. I want to explain to you that I have discovered a way to harness the energy
of tears. Maisie Turret! It's been too long. Oh, thank you for coming today.
De nada. I wouldn't have missed it.
Please excuse my intimate display, but I just heard some extraordinarily good news.
Colonel Turret, I'm Haley Firstwater.
This is Haley Firstwater, a brilliant chemist, and this is Gerald Sampson, a casino investigator.
I know Gerald. He is my husband.
You two are married?
Being the snake that he was, Gerald Sampson looked at Maisie and opened his mouth to say something. Then he looked at Counselor Woods and opened his mouth to say something. Then Gerald Sampson ran off.
Hello, Radioland. My name is Christian O'Neill, the director of The Glimmer Within by Ken Walsh. On behalf of Ken and our cast of performers, we hope you enjoyed part 2 of The Glimmer Within. Stay tuned after the credits for exclusive interviews with our cast. Starring tonight's show, Danny Mullins as the narrator, Liz Webb as Haley Firstwater, Leah Fitzgerald as Olivia Woods, David Kleonsky as Gerald Sampson, and Marina Insulin as Colonel Maisie Turret. Sound design and direction by Christian O'Neill. Music by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. This audio play was produced by the Cary Playwrights Forum. The Cary Playwrights Forum, or CPF, develops and produces new plays written by North Carolina playwrights. Visit CaryPlaywrightsForum.org to learn more. And now for some bonus content from the stars of our show.
Do you work in other theatrical arts, trades, or positions apart from acting? I don't work in the field, but I do a lot of volunteering. So I've volunteered a lot with costuming, mainly because my best friend Rachel does costumes for shows. So I've done a lot of helping backstage with costume changes and things like that.
I have designed sound mostly for the late, great Deep Dish Theater in Chapel Hill. Design sound for around 6 shows that they put on.
It's been a long time since I've done anything light or sound related. I think college was the last time I did anything like that.
Outside of performances, I'm not involved in the arts in terms of my professional career. I am a lawyer, but even though I'm not per se an actor, I do civil litigation, a lot of employment law. So being in court, you know, all that whole process, even though you're not acting, it is very theatrical at times. So I certainly use the skills that I've developed through theater on a daily basis in my regular day job.
I have worked in other areas of the theatrical arts. Apart from acting, I've done some directing in the last several years. I've really taken a break from that in the last couple of years just to focus more on acting. But I did direct several pieces around the Triangle, mostly readings or just small staged events.
I also directed and produced a show called The Donkey Show, which is a disco version of A Midsummer Night's Dream. And I currently work as an audiobook narrator for Audible.com.
I do love volunteering. I love doing front of house. I love doing stuff like that. So acting is not the only thing I like to do.
I started performing in theater in the first grade. I was in a school production about the invention of popcorn, and I got the lead role. And it was such a thrilling and exciting process and experience for me that I just wanted to do more of it. So I did. My favorite acting roles so far, my most recent favorite role was I had the great pleasure of playing the role of Estella in Real Women Have Curves with Justice Theater Project. That was a really exciting role for me to play a Latina woman, and to be in that show. It was such a good experience overall. I thought it was an important role, and it was a really great experience. I got along with the cast really well, and it was just a great experience overall. I think one of my favorite parts I ever played as a younger actress was I was in a production of Gypsy when I was 16, and I was a Toreadorable in the second act and was hanging out all the time at rehearsals. I would just have to be there and kind of wait to rehearse my scenes. And they needed somebody to play the back end of the dancing cow. So I volunteered to do that, and it was a lot of fun. It was just really silly. But that's also been one of my favorite experiences ever.
I want to thank Kenny Walsh for letting me be part of the development process of this piece over the course of many years. And I know he's really worked on rewrites and making this piece tighter and better. I want to thank Christian for putting all the pieces together into an amazing radio play. And I also want to thank my amazing fiance, Mara, for putting up with me and keeping me sane. Thank you, everybody.